with the prayer that I pray every time before I preach, which is a prayer out of 1 Peter 4, that I would speak as the oracles of God so that God may be exalted. To that end, that God would be exalted, grab your Bibles if you would please, and open to John 19. If you're visiting with us, and if you're visiting with us wondering why it is we are talking about the resurrection in November, that is because we go through books of the Bible verse by verse, and in our verse by verse study of the Gospel of John, we come to John 20, not John 19, John chapter 20, which is the account of Christ's resurrection from the dead. That's our study for this morning. As you open there to John 20, let me ask you this question. How many of you know the song, "I Just Dropped In to See What Condition My Condition Was In"? Heard of that song? Who sings it? Where's Renee? Is Renee still here? I know Renee knows, because years ago, I referenced that song, and I said it was a song by the group called Bread, but it is not. It's by Kenny Rogers. "I Just Dropped In to See What Condition My Condition Was In." And this morning, as I said with the children, if today's message is totally successful, you will know your spiritual condition and what to do about it. And to that end, I'm going to ask you two questions, and then I'll tell you your spiritual condition. But first, let's read the text. Our text for this morning is John 20, verses 1 to 29. The title is "The Resurrection of Christ and Your Spiritual Condition." John 20, beginning at verse 1. "Now the first day of the week," which by the way is Sunday, "the first day of the week, Sunday, which is why we gather and worship on Sundays, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw," you might notice as we go through how many times the word "saw" or "seen" or "have seen" is used. "The first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.' Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and they were going to the tomb, so they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first," who is that, by the way? John the apostle who's writing this. "He went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned and said to him, 'Rabboni,' which is to say, 'Teacher.' Jesus said to her, 'Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things to her. Then The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, you think he knows what Thomas said 8 days earlier? I think so. "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." I have two questions for you this morning, and then I will tell you your spiritual condition as of right now. And here's why. Because God wants you to know your spiritual condition. Question number one, what have you seen? What have you seen? And here's what I mean by that. For example, have you seen the empty tomb and the rolled away stone? Verse 1. Now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went into the tomb early, or she went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Mary Magdalene was actually already a follower of Jesus Christ. Mark 16:9 tells us that Jesus had cast 7 demons out of her, and in faith and in gratitude to Jesus Christ for that, she became not only a follower of Jesus, she became a financial supporter of his ministry. Luke 8:3 says that. Here she is, Mary Magdalene, a follower and a financial supporter of Christ and his ministry. Here she is on Sunday morning, the very first day of the week, the third day after Jesus was crucified. In Russian, it's Voskresenye. Sunday is called Voskresenye. You know what that means? Resurrection. Very handy for evangelism because every Sunday in Russia is Resurrection Day. So it should be with us. Here she goes early. It's still dark. She sees the tomb and she sees the stone, which has been used to seal it up, rolled away. And my question to you is, have you seen that? Have you seen the tomb? Have you seen the massive stone that was rolled away? I will tell you this, even if you've been on a really good tour of Israel, and by the grace of God, I have been in 2008, the answer is no. You might see what they say maybe was the tomb, but they can't be sure, and certainly they can't be sure of any stone. So what have you seen? Or have you seen the linen cloths? Look at verses 2 to 5. "Then she," Mary Magdalene, "ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, John the Apostle," who is writing this, the disciple whom Jesus loved. He likes to throw that in there. "And she said to them, 'They've taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.'" Oh, that, let's stop there a second. That's really interesting. She saw the tomb. She saw the stone rolled away, and what did she conclude? That Jesus had risen again from the dead? Nope. No, she concluded that somebody stole the body of Jesus. Is that true? No. Now listen, she saw the evidence and believed a lie. That's interesting. Some say evidence demands a verdict. Present the evidence that demands a verdict. And I say, no, the natural man does not understand, nor is he able to discern. You need to preach the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, not evidence. I have a week-long seminary study on that, on apologetics. But you should know, people do not rightly interpret evidence. Even Mary Magdalene did not rightly interpret the empty tomb and the rolled away stone. Evidence is not the power of God into salvation. You should remember that in all your evangelism. All right, anyway, Mary Magdalene goes and gets Simon Peter and the Apostle John. Verse 3, Peter therefore went out and the other disciple, and they were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. All right, Bible trivia. You know, every year, if you didn't know, we have a New Year's Eve gathering usually, and we play some games, and one of them is Bible trivia. Here's a good Bible trivia question. Which disciple was a faster runner? Simon Peter or the Apostle John? John. And you know what? Here I think we come to an interesting lesson about the inspiration of Scripture. Was the Bible written by men? Yes. It was not merely written by men, but it was written by men. Holy men of God who were led along by the Holy Spirit to write a book which is both human and divine. Their personalities come through. John writes differently than Paul. And occasionally you have things like this where the Apostle John is like, I beat him to the tomb. I'm putting that. Lord, can I put that in there? And apparently the Lord said yes. Verse 5. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. So John the Apostle sees the linen cloths. Here's my question to you. What have you seen? Have you seen the linen cloths that Jesus was wrapped in before his burial, John 19, 38-40? John did. Have you? No. No, you haven't. Or have you seen the handkerchief? Verse 6. Then Simon Peter came in following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths there, and verse 7, and the handkerchief. Saw them both. What handkerchief? Well, the one, verse 7, that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Peter saw the empty tomb. He saw the rolled away stone. He saw the linen cloths, and he saw the handkerchief. What about you? Nope. Does anyone want to say yes? Okay, good. Good. We're all in the same boat here. Or have you seen the inside of the tomb? Verse 8. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first, a little another reminder, I beat him there, went in also, and he saw and believed. Stop there. And believed what? You might think he saw and believed the resurrection. I don't think so. He saw and believed what Mary had just told them, that someone has taken away the body of Jesus. How do we know that? Verse 9. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Seeing is not believing. Evidence is not what people need. Here, on the basis of evidence, even the apostles were believing the wrong things. But my question to you is question number one, what have you seen? Have you seen the empty tomb? Have you seen the rolled away stone? Have you seen the linen cloths? Have you seen the bloody handkerchief? Or have you seen the two angels in white? Verses 10 to 13. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. Why? Because of what she's believing. That's why she's weeping. She is believing that someone had stolen the body of Jesus. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels. What are angels? I give you the answer to this every time I ask the question. What are angels? Answer the question, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister on behalf of those who inherit salvation? That's the best definition of angels in all the Bible, Hebrews 1:14. The answer to that is yes. Angels are ministering spirits sent forth to render help to minister for the sake of those who inherit. This is why the angels are recorded here. They're for you. They're for your sakes. She saw the two angels in white sitting, one at the head, the other at the feet where Jesus had lain. I'm in verse 13. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Now, if you didn't know, most often, questions in the Bible are aimed at conviction. Not always, but quite often. Questions are aimed at conviction. Why are you doing this? In other words, you shouldn't be doing this. Should she be weeping? No. Why not? Because she was told that he would rise again. Jesus had repeatedly told all of his disciples that he would rise again from the dead. But that is so hard to believe. Have you ever seen any of your loved ones get buried in a tomb or a grave and a headstone or cremated, and then suddenly, days later, you see them alive from the dead? Shake your head this way. Have you seen what Mary saw? Because Mary saw the tomb, the stone, the angels in white. Or have you seen the risen Christ? Verses 14 to 18. Now when she had seen this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Now right away you go, how could she not know that it was Jesus? Well look, it's dark. She's weeping. When I go outside every morning, my eyes tear up for whatever reason, allergies or something. It's hard to see. It's dark out, tears in the eyes, and it also doesn't say Jesus was facing her. Very possible that he's facing away from her. So there's some reasons to think, to understand that she doesn't recognize him. Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She's supposing him to be the gardener. Doesn't say how far away he is. Maybe he's a little distance away. He's standing, perhaps back turned. It's dark. She's weeping. She's confused. She's upset. Jesus speaks to her, and she supposes him to be the gardener. She says, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I'll take him away." Is seeing believing? Nope. So Jesus, verse 16, says to her, "Mary." I think that's a tone of love, of kindness, of grace, of affection. She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say teacher. And apparently she's coming in with arms open like this or something. Apparently it doesn't say that, but right away Jesus says, "Don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended." Most likely she's either ready to or already beginning, because she does not want to lose sight of him again. This is Christ. This is her teacher. This is one that she has supported in the ministry. She never wants to go through again what she has gone through over the last 3 days. Don't leave. She doesn't want him to leave. But he is leaving. He had already told them that he was leaving. And he'd already told them that it was best for them that he leave. So Jesus says, "Don't cling to me. I haven't yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them that I'm ascending to my Father and to your Father and to my God and your God." I'm on question number one. What have you seen? What have you seen? Have you seen the empty tomb, the linen cloths, the rolled away stone, the handkerchief, the angels in white, the risen Christ? Have you seen his nail-pierced hands, or his sword-pierced side? Verse 18. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Then that same day at evening, being the first day of the week, still Sunday, it's Sunday night, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. There's some work needing to be done here, because last time we looked at Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, right? They overcame their fears. The disciples haven't yet. Jesus, we're in verse 19, end of the verse. Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and he showed them his side. Oh, the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Now, they should have been glad as soon as they saw the empty tomb. Or they should have been glad as soon as Mary Magdalene said, "I've seen the Lord." Nope, not till they see him. Verse 21, so Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Did they just now receive the Holy Spirit? Shake your head no. No, Jesus had told them that they would eventually receive the Holy Spirit. He's telling them that they should receive the Holy Spirit, and they will receive the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. But that's yet future here. That's 50 days out. But Jesus is reminding them, they will be receiving the Holy Spirit. Verse 23, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. What is Jesus doing here? He is reminding his apostles of his promises that he would send the Holy Spirit, that they would receive power and authority to continue his work on the earth after his ascension. And that they would have the keys to the kingdom, Matthew 16, which are the Holy Spirit and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that by those keys to the kingdom, they would be able to tell who is Christian and who is not, who is forgiven and who is not. Now Thomas, also known as Doubting Thomas, verse 24, poor guy, called the twin, one of the 12, wasn't with them when Jesus had come to them. Verse 25, the other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. Doubting Thomas is like, that doesn't help me. Now listen, Doubting Thomas is declaring he will not believe the testimony of the other disciples. Like he's stating. I get it. It's hard to believe, especially if you're right there. In fact, some would say it's impossible. The other disciples said, we've seen the Lord. And he said, unless I myself see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. How many are just like that today? So many, right? They're just like that. What does God show himself to me? And you're just like, well, you're thinking maybe a streak of lightning is going to come out. Doubting Thomas. Well, Christ was very gracious to him, listen, for your sake. Jesus knows there are a million doubting Thomases. And for your sake, Jesus came to Doubting Thomas and had John record exactly what happened and then recorded the statement at the end. Listen, verse 26. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside. Thomas was with them. Jesus came, and the doors being shut, Jesus stood in the midst of them, and he said, peace to you. Well, this is Jesus expressing his desire. Listen, my desire for you is that you would have peace. Peace with God. Peace with one another. What a great thing to have, right? My desire is that you would have shalom. A blessed spiritual condition is my desire for you. That's what Jesus is saying. And that is his desire for you. Peace to you, verse 27. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here. And Thomas did this. You can be sure. Thomas went, look at my hands. Reach your hand here, where Jesus had been cut open and blood and water fled out. And then this command, stop being unbelieving, but be believing. And Thomas did. At the command of Jesus Christ, verse 28, Thomas answered and said, my Lord and my God. I'm on question number one. It's a question to you. What have you seen? Have you seen any of these things? The empty tomb, the rolled away stone, the linen cloth, the handkerchief, the angels in white, the risen Christ, his nail-pierced hands, or his sword-pierced side? The answer is no. No, you haven't. And on this, everyone in this room and everyone who ever hears this message, we are all in the same boat. But not on the second question. Here's the second question, far more important. Ready? What have you believed? Have you believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? He is, whether you believe it or not. And all these things are written right here to the end that you would believe. Look at down at verse 31. These are written, that means these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Have you believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Do you know what that means, to believe that he is the Christ? It means to believe that he is the ultimate prophet promised by God in Deuteronomy 18, that he is the ultimate priest promised by God in Psalm 110, that he is the ultimate king promised by God in 2 Samuel 7, 1 Chronicles 17, Psalm 2, Psalm 89, Daniel 7. It means to believe that he is God come in the flesh, in fulfillment of all those great promises. Have you believed that? And with that, have you believed the good news? That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, John 3:16. That whoever believes in him is not condemned, John 3:18. That whoever believes in him has eternal life already and will not come into judgment, John 3:36. Whoever believes in the Son has everlasting life, John 5:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Have you believed that? Have you believed that Jesus is the Christ? And have you believed in the good news that whoever believes in him will never die, not really, but will rise again just as Jesus did, John 11:25. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me shall live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Question number one, what have you seen? Question number two, what have you believed? If your answer to all those, what have you believed? Have you believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Have you believed in the gospel? Ready? Here's your spiritual condition. One word. You know what it is? Take a look. John 20, verse 29. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Listen, beloved. If you're all in the same boat with me that you have not seen any of these things, the empty tomb, the rolled away stone, the linen cloth, the handkerchief, the two angels in white, nail-pierced hands, or his split open side. But you have believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You have believed that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You have believed that whoever believes in him is not condemned and never will be. You have already passed out of death into life. You're blessed. Do you know what that means? That is your spiritual condition. You are blessed. This is what this means. You ready? You are in the enviable and eternal condition of having been already specially favored by God to believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, and the gospel. This is not a temporary thing. You are blessed no matter what else happens. You're blessed no matter what anyone else says. Not just for today. You're blessed abundantly, not just a little bit. Jesus said, I have come that ye may have life and have it to the full. You are abundantly blessed. With how many blessings? All of them. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Who is us? People who have not seen and yet believed. He says that to the Ephesians. They hadn't seen any of this. In Ephesians 1:3, none of them had seen any of this, but they had believed the gospel. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Chosen, forgiven, adopted, redeemed, guaranteed. Too blessed to be stressed. Too blessed to be depressed. Listen, if you have not seen and yet you have believed, you are eternally blessed, and what should you do? Oh. Praise God, sing songs, rejoice, study the gospel, serve him, obey him, live in light of this blessing. You're blessed. It will never be taken away. Even if you have trials and if you have grief, what did Brother Andrew just read to us? In this you rejoice, even though for now you are grieved by various trials. You don't quit rejoicing. I know, it's like you're two-sided. It's like you're bipolar because you're rejoicing and you're grieving. That's okay. That's Christian bipolar. Every Christian is that, you know, struck down, perplexed, but not. You remember Paul has that, you know, we're this, but not that. We're this, but not that. He's two things at the same time. Blessed, rejoicing, but grieved by various trials. Let me tell you, here's the way to be. Paul gives a great example of the way to be, even if you're grieved. It's okay to grieve for a while, but you should turn the corner. I just want you to hear what he says about those who are not saved, because I know that many of us have unsaved loved ones, and we are grieved about that. You need to hear Paul's, not just what he says, but how he deals with this. He says, brethren, I got to get it right here. Hang on. Aha. I tell you the truth in Christ. Romans 9:1. I'm not lying. My conscience is bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow. And I have continuing grief in my heart. Is he sinning? No. He has great sorrow and continuing grief in his heart for those who are not saved. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises, of whom are the fathers, from whom according to the flesh Christ came, who is over all, and eternally blessed God. Amen. So he says, I grieve, I have sorrow. And then he says, but, and you've got to turn that corner. But it is not as though the word of God has failed. That is a very good perspective. Listen, when you get to where you are grieving because of your unsaved loved ones, don't stay there. Don't stay there. Yes, I grieve. Yes, I'm sorry. But it is not as though the word of God has failed. And the rest of his three chapters about Israel are about that part. The word of God not failing. Come back to the gospel. And here it is. What have you seen? Nothing. What have you believed? If you're a believer, by the grace of God, you've believed everything. You've believed in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You've believed in the Word of God. And you are forever blessed. That is your spiritual condition. And what you do with it is praise God, rejoice, keep the commandments of Christ, follow Jesus. But what if you have not seen and you have not yet believed? I said you'd leave knowing your spiritual condition. It grieves me to tell you what it is, but there's good news. Here's your spiritual condition. At present, right now, if you have not yet believed in Jesus Christ, you stand condemned already and under the wrath of God with one way out. That's your spiritual condition. If you don't believe it, you only confirm what I just said. You stand condemned already. He who does not believe is condemned already, John 3:18, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. What that means is, in addition to all your other sinning, of which you have many sins, you reject the only solution for sins, which is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And therefore you stand condemned already because you've rejected the only remedy for your ailment. You stand condemned under the wrath of God. John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has everlasting life, but he who does not believe the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. You stand condemned already. You stand under the wrath of God with one way out. What is it? Listen, the first message that the apostles preached after Jesus said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. He said to them in this context, receive the Holy Spirit, verse 23, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. The first sermon preached by the power of the Holy Spirit after that statement is Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, recorded in Acts 2, in which he convicted, the Spirit of God convicted through him, thousands of those who had convicted, who had crucified Christ. And at the end of it, they said, brethren, what shall we do? Here's the answer. There's one way out. Repent. Repent. That's it. What does that mean? Turn from your foolish, baseless unbelief and believe in Jesus Christ. That's what repent means. Turn from being unbelieving and be believing. It's what Jesus said to Thomas, doubting Thomas. He called on him to repent. Stop being unbelieving and be believing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be saved. And you'll leave here in a brand new spiritual condition. Why would you not do that today? Today is the day for you to be saved. Today is the day for you to repent of your foolish unbelief. Today is the day for you to embrace Christ, to trust Him. Why wouldn't you? You will be blessed forever. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and He will be your helper from this day forward. Help for everything. So I urge you, if you came here today, and you haven't seen any of this, we're all in the same boat there, but if you also have not yet believed in Jesus Christ, don't leave here not believing. Stop being unbelieving, but believe. Christ is risen from the dead. He has ascended into heaven. He has sat down at the right hand of God the Father. And He's doing one main thing today, saving eternally everybody who comes to God through Him. What does that look like? You just bow your head, you humble yourself and say, Father, have mercy on me, a sinner. You can say that. Father, have mercy on me, a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. That's it. Humble your heart before God and call upon Him for salvation, and you will be saved. That is good news. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for this account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is truly risen. Thank You for blessing all of us who have not seen and yet we have believed. And we are now in the permanent state of being enviably blessed. Others should want what we have. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters in this room. May You cause them to rejoice, to put all their trust and hope in You, to rejoice even in the midst of trials and grief. Help them to keep coming back to the gospel and say, it is not as though the word of God has failed, because it hasn't. And Father, I pray for those in this room today who are without Christ, who are without forgiveness, who are without hope. May today be the day of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.